Go with me again to 3 John. 3 John. A few months ago, a brother read 3 John in my study on a Wednesday night. And when he did, one word that is used 2 times grabbed my attention. And I just love it when that happens. I love it whenever a passage is being read, whether I'm reading it or somebody else is reading it, and the Lord just grabs hold of you and blesses your heart with it. And this just so blessed my heart. It made me want to write it down. I made a note and I set it to the side. I'll do that a lot to see if the Lord will at some point give a message on it. And tonight is that point. So let me read this epistle again. And when we get to it, I'm going to point out the word that is our subject matter. It says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." And the truth is Christ. He said, "I am the truth." "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Even as thou walkest in the truth." That's how God's people walk, in Christ. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity," that means love, "before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well." And that's our motivation for everything that we do in the ministry, for the ministry: love. Love for Christ, love for the brethren, charity, he calls it. Verse 7, "Because that for his name's sake," it's all for his name's sake, "they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." Our Lord said, if we want to know what it is to be a helper in the ministry, our Lord said, "As much as you have done it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it to me." We are the ministry. God's people are the ministry. We're preaching the gospel as a ministry to the ministry, to find the ministry, so God will call out his ministry. And then we're going to minister to them. But we are the ministry. And he said, "For his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles." Verse 8, "We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth," the gospel of Christ. "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." There must be heresies among us, sad to say. But the gospel and the truth will always have enemies and opposition, but God overrules all that. Verse 11, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee." Now here's our word. He said, our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. He said, our friends here salute you. And would you please tell all of our friends there, greet all of them by name. And that's what we do. When we see somebody from another place and we know another brother there, we say, tell, and make sure you tell, greet them by name. Tell them individually that we said hello. We miss them. We love them. Greet the friends. When our brother read that, I thought that is absolutely beautiful. That is just such a beautiful word that our Lord has placed in His Word. He is referring to brethren in Christ. That's who He's referring to. Usually the wording of these epistles, they're written by different apostles, and usually the wording is, greet the brethren. That's what it'll say, greet the brethren. Salute all those in Christ Jesus. It'll say, this is to the elect. That's who I'm writing to. To the strangers scattered abroad. All of those terms are referring to the same people. Brethren in Christ, the elect, strangers scattered abroad. But John, at the end of his epistle, said, they're our friends. They're our friends. He said, we're friends. That's what brethren in Christ, elect, strangers scattered abroad are. Friends. We are friends. We are friends. I just love that so much. That is just so special to me. The Apostle Paul, as a prisoner one time, it says in the book of Acts, he was given liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. He had the favor of a centurion. He let him go for a little while to his friends to refresh himself. The scripture says that the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. It's just a sweet term, friends. It is a heartwarming thing to think about, having someone that you believe in your heart and your soul is a true friend. You know what I mean? We have friends. True, true friends. Here's a couple of definitions of the word friend. One attached to another by affection or esteem. One who is just attached to another by affection or esteem. It means a favored companion. That means a favorite person to be with. A favorite person, that's a friend. When I hear that, it makes me think of David and Jonathan in the Old Testament. They're one of the greatest examples of what friendship truly is. It says David loved Jonathan. And it says Jonathan's heart was knit to David. And I've told you this before, but it happened when David slew Goliath. What a glorious story. Saul, Jonathan's father, was the king. That whole army was lined up. The Philistine army was lined up. Saul was taunting everybody. Nobody would go. And he was saying, send one man. Whoever loses will be the slaves of the other one. So David goes out there, slays Goliath, took his sword, cut Goliath's head off, and came walking back up to Saul with it. And it says when Jonathan saw that, his heart was knit to David. His heart was knit to the one who he saw as his king. His heart was knit to the Savior of his people, Savior of himself. And that's Christ to us. That's Christ to us. Seeing Him and what He's done, it just knits our hearts to Him. People who are true friends truly love each other. They desire each other. They will be there for each other. And in Christ, that's what God's people are. That's what they are for each other. That's what they feel for each other. True friends. God's people know why they are friends. And they know what made them to be friends. And that's what I want us to look at just for the rest of the message here. The one and only reason, the one and only ground, the one and only foundation of our friendship, Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. We're going to take just a minute here and turn to a few scriptures, and we're going to read about our friend, okay? Capital F, our friend. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, look with me at verse 24. It says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." We have friends. We are spiritual, eternal friends. Only because Christ showed Himself friendly. Friendly to us. We are His friends. Friends with Him. Only because He showed Himself friendly to us first. He first showed Himself friendly to us. It was a one-sided friendship. We're friends with Him. One-sided friendship until He made us to be friends with Him. Had that responsibility fallen on us, like men falsely declare it to be. You know, people say, "Have you made your peace with God? Are you right with God?" Had that fallen on us, had the Lord been waiting for us to make friends with Him, He would have had to have walked away from us a long time ago. Because we did not want to show ourselves friendly to Him. We despised and rejected Him. That's what we read this morning. But in His faithfulness, He was a friend to us. He was a friend to us. And He stuck closer to us than a brother even would. And in doing so, He made a covenant with us to love us and to never leave us. And to break down that middle wall of enmity between us that we were holding on to. And to make peace. And in that peace, He said, "We're friends." In the peace of the cross, by the blood of the cross, because of that blood, He said, "We're friends." We were made to be friends with God by Him making us to be friends with Him, one with Him. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 8, it says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. That is a friend. That is a friend. He said, I'll do all of that for you because you are my friend. It's because I have chosen you and made you to be my friend. He said, I will strengthen you because you're my friend. I'll help you because you're my friend. I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness because you're my friend. He said, I'll fight for you. I love how Moses, whenever he was leading the children of Israel out and they came up to the Red Sea. Can you honestly imagine the fear and the dread of knowing we are now at the sea, and that whole army that we just left is coming up behind us, and we're penned in, and there's nowhere to go? And they came to Moses saying, what are we going to do? And I'm sure Moses, the Lord may have given him great strength in that moment, but in his flesh, I'm sure he was worried too. But he said to them, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, the Lord shall fight for you. What a thing to say at a moment like that. The Lord shall fight for you, and you'll hold your peace. And that's what he said right here. I'll fight for you because I'm your friend. I will protect you. He said, I will shield you. Because you're my friend. And when you get down, he said, and when you get discouraged and when you become afraid, I'll sit beside you and I'll hold your hand and I'll say to you, fear not. I'm right here. I'm still right here. And I'm not going anywhere. And he said, I'll do that because you're my friend. Turn with me to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 19, it says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. That's who he is. That's who he is the friend of. Vile, wretched, miserable sinners. A person who knows he or she is a sinner loves to hear that. Loves to hear that. Thank God he is the friend of sinners. That's what I am, a sinner. He is the true friend that sticketh closer than a brother, who made a covenant. He made a promise to protect and defend and shield and strengthen and encourage and raise back up a bunch of sinners like us. And that promise was from the judgment of God and for every moment thereafter. On that cross, he said, I will shield you and defend you and protect you in every moment thereafter. That's what he does for us. Turn with me over to John 15. John 15, verse 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Here's the amazing thing about this. Clearly, we want to be friends with him. Clearly. All right? Clearly. We want to be friends with him. But amazingly, he wants to be friends with us. That's the amazing thing. That is the amazing part about grace. Every sinful, ruined soul that his Father gave to him, he loved that soul and desired that soul. He desired that soul to the point that he was willing to lay down his life to cleanse and redeem that soul because that soul was his friend. That soul, all of his people, are favored companions to him. You know what the definition of the word friend is? A favorite person to be with. A favored companion. Someone that you are attached to. He was attached to his people because of his affection for his people. And it's the understatement of eternity to say that God's people want to be with Christ. Obviously, we want to be with Christ, but the glory of eternity is in hearing that Christ wants to be with his people. As much as we love and desire him, infinitely greater he loves and desires us. Infinitely greater he loved and desired us. And he proved that to us all the way down to the grave. He was willing to be separated from God for us. Have you ever thought about the statement that the Apostle Paul made? He said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren. Have you ever thought about that and in your heart honestly said, I don't know if I could say that. And I'm a sinner talking about other sinners just like me. But think about the spotless, holy Lamb of God. He was willing to be separated from God for his people. You talk about holy, holy, holy. His love for us and his desire for us was so great, he was willing to be forsaken by God. Who could ever imagine what that is like? Verse 13, John 15, verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. What is his commandment to us? Come to me. Follow me. Cast your all on me. He said, if you see yourself doing that, that's the evidence that you are my friend. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. He said, I've let you in on our secret conversations, our secret communication between me and my Father. Everything he has said to me, I've made it known to you. I've hid nothing from you. You'll do that with your friends. That's who you'll do that with. Somebody you consider to be a true friend, you'll say, now listen, this is not for everybody to know. Don't tell anybody. But I'm going to tell you. I'm going to confide this in you. Because you're my friend. My heart to yours, because you're my friend. Verse 15 says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I've made known unto you. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. He said, I'm telling you all of these things so that you can love one another as friends, just like I've loved you as friends. Look back up a few verses at verse 11, John 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. For our friends' sake, capital F. For our friends' sake, we're friends. All because of his love and his commandment and his commitment, we're friends. We are friends in our great friend. And because of him, we love each other. We do. We love each other. We desire each other. We prefer to be with each other. I do. I prefer to be with you, brethren, wherever a brother or sister may be. Don't you prefer to be with brethren? We prefer to be together and together with him. We prefer to be together with him. And by his grace, for all eternity, we're going to be able to say this right here. Just turn. We're already in John. Go to John 3, okay? John 3, verse 29. John the Baptist said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. That's what all of his friends have to say. That's all I have to say about it. I just want to stand next to my friend and hear his voice. My joy will be so full. He must increase. I must decrease. It's good to be friends, isn't it? So good to be friends. I told you about that dear man, Brother Hubert Davis. I never met him. I heard the story that a long time ago he had a condition where he couldn't stand upright. The man was bent over, and he had some medical issues. And he and his wife had a daughter that had some medical issues. And he got to a place where he realized his wife couldn't take care of both of them, so he voluntarily checked into a nursing home. And Brother Henry Mahan and Brother Paul went to visit him one time, and they walked into his room, and he was staring out the window, bent in half, just crippled over, and had his back to the door and couldn't see who was coming in. And when they walked in, they said, Brother Hubert, are you all alone? And he said, with his back to him, he said, no, brother, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. My friend is with me. Never leave you. Never leave you. What comfort it is to have our true friend. All right, Brother Dwight, you come.